Welcome back to Active Donegal, a series which takes a look at how sport is feeding into Donegal communities and how physical activity is being encouraged. We've linked up with organisations and local clubs to highlight what sports and activities are available for diverse groups and communities in the Northwest region. In this episode, we focus on the work being done around the county to connect communities together through the medium of sport. We've been out and about in Donegal over the past few weeks and have spoken to some influential people whose main aim is to bring people of all ages, abilities and backgrounds together. We've been to Buncrana to speak to Patricia Higgins and Kevin McLaughlin, two people who are heavily involved in the Connecting Communities projects at Inishowen Development Partnership. We've been to Maharry to have a chat with Stephen Bell and Hugh Gerard Boyle of Maharry Coastal Adventures to get the latest on how their paddle ability programme is going. But first, we'll go to Letterkenny Tennis Club, who are innovators in their mission to involve people of all backgrounds and abilities in sport. Let's hear now from Jerry Clark, the development officer at the Letterkenny Tennis Club. Jerry, how long have you been involved at the tennis club here?
I don't know. It would be maybe 25 years or so, maybe a bit more.
You must have seen some developments over the last 25 years.
Well, we have seen a lot of development in the last 5 years, which is, for the 20 of those, wasn't much. We were very happy to have what we have. We have four polymeric courts, and we had lots of play. Not a big membership for the last 20 years, but we've really started to push that out in the last while. And we have seen a lot of changes, but very exciting in the last few years, yeah.
So some of the big developments over the last few years, you were just telling me that you've got four courts here resurfaced, and you can just tell me a wee bit about this new clay court that you have here. It's a gorgeous looking surface.
Yeah, well, the clay court would be a nice surface to play on, and it's also a recognised surface. In Ireland, we have a lot of different surfaces throughout the country, therefore we don't have a uniform type of surface, so we have different types of players who like a big bounce and people who don't like any bounce at all, and it's a bit of a mishmash. But I think the clay seems to be getting a foothold in Ireland, and it is a nice surface, and I'm hoping to see more of it around the place. But it's easy to play on, it's a little slower, and it's a recognised surface by the ITF, which is what we want to be doing.
Yeah, you touched on it there, having a lot of different types of players. That goes with age groups as well. You have players here from the age of 3 and 4 up until their 70s. Can you just talk to us a wee bit about that? Tennis is such a great sport for the demographic that you can get involved in it.
Absolutely, you don't have to retire from tennis. In fact, we have a lady in there, and I'd hope she wouldn't mind, she's in her 80s, and we have a couple of men in their 80s. So it's a sport you can play for the rest of your life, and it's aerobically very good for you. And I think scientifically I've seen different articles on that tennis is the sport to play if you want to live longer. So if the scientists are saying that, I think we should all be trying to do that. So yeah, it is. We encourage a lot of people who come from other sports at maybe 35-ish, where they're maybe the soccer and the Gaelic is getting too much or whatever it is, or the camogie and whatever it is that you're playing, and that you don't have to go straight to the golf. You know, there is something you can go to. So you can come to the tennis. And tennis, it's such a sociable sport, but also quite competitive and quite enjoyable. You don't have to be great. You start off, we have all levels here, from beginners right up to international players in the club. And you should, it's an easy sport for all. We would have internal competitions going on all the time. We have maybe 50 or 60 men playing internal ladders, and we would have maybe 20, 25 women playing the ladders. So it's competitive, as well as the social mornings for the women play tennis here on a Monday and a Friday morning, and then they go for coffee and lunch, and it's all very sociable. Yeah. So yeah, there's something for everyone in it. Yeah.
That's it. And it's a great thing for the kids to come here and do during the summer. Behind me here, you're running summer camps for the kids. It's Wimbledon has just started. It's tennis season. Do you notice a buzz coming into the summer months?
I start to get more calls about, can we book the courts? And yeah, we haven't been before, and that's great. Always Wimbledon. But we're here 24/7, 12 months of the year, and the courts are playable all year. It's not just a summer sport. And it's very enjoyable. We have a lot of kids come throughout the year, but the camps, by the way, lots of room for the next 6 weeks. We run it in 2 week blocks, just started this week. And if anybody wants to give me a call, for sure. Yeah, it's lots of room in the tennis camps for the next 6 weeks. But we do run classes all year round for our juniors, yeah, and we have good juniors coming through the place, yeah.
Yeah, for the kids, it's important, I think, to note, tennis is an amazing sport, and I think we're guilty in this country of maybe forcing our kids into maybe GAA and soccer a little bit too much, and then if a child isn't good enough or doesn't really enjoy it that much, there's a risk there that they'd fall out of sport completely. Tennis can be the answer.
Absolutely. I do a lot of rehab with some kids who come from other sports where it really was a negative experience for them. And I spend a lot of time kind of making sure that they enjoy the tennis that they come to. And not only that, but if it isn't for them or they don't really want to stay at the tennis, that they feel positive enough to go to another sport, that they haven't associated the negative experience they've had in sport with the tennis. You know, it's very important for all coaches and all people involved in sport that we encourage juniors, that we don't knock them. There's a little bit too much emphasis maybe on the underage, really small kids to perform, and really it's not what it's about. All sport, all children and all adults have an equal opportunity and should be made feel good in the sport, in any sport. That's the number one priority.
You have students here from St Bernadette School that come. I know it's not the right time of year now, but maybe you can just explain a bit about what that programme is like.
Yes, we developed a very positive experience for all involved. We have teamed up with St Bernadette's special school, and we have maybe 40 or 50 of the St Bernadette's kids here during the school year. And they work with the TY students from the mainstream schools, St. Eunan's, the Loreto, and the Gaelscoil come down here. We invited Errigal, but it didn't happen this year. They work with them. It's more of a buddy program than a tennis program, but it's the one program where all the schools are working together, including St. Eunan's and the two other schools. They all work together on a program, and it's very successful and it's very exciting, and they enjoy it and they learn how to work with disability. The TY students, there might be maybe 80 or 90 of them here, so it's a huge program on a Thursday for 2 hours, and that's going on now in its eighth year, and it's been supported by Donegal Sports Partnership, which we're very lucky to have.
Lastly for me, Gerry, you mentioned that you have space available for the camps. Sure you're looking to get more membership and that stuff. Where can people contact Letterkenny Tennis Club?
We have a website. You can apply for membership on the website or letterkennytennisclub.com, or they can text me, or they can you can find my number on the Facebook social medias. You'll find my name there, Gerry Clark, Letterkenny Tennis Coach, or you can just also the social medias have Letterkenny Tennis Club as well. Just search them and you'll find them.
While I was there, I caught up with some of the older members of the tennis club, Kay Dean and Mary Barry, who told me how much the club has benefited them in the past number of decades. Now I'm joined with, I was going to say one of the founding members, but I mean that you've been a member here since its inception at the Letterkenny Tennis Club.
A life member.
Yeah. Yes. Can I ask you how many years is that? Do you know?
I actually can't be sure, but it's at least 30, maybe more.
Okay. Mary, you're actually quite an accomplished tennis player. You've represented Ireland. Talk to us about that.
Yes. Well, to qualify for Ireland, I've been playing around the country. I go down to Cork, Waterford, Limerick, and you've got to do well in these events to get picked for your age group. So the first time I ever actually did well was I went to Leinster to play, and I won the singles at the age of 55. So that got my name out there. And then I think when I turned 60, I had played enough tournaments around the country. You get points every time you do well. And so I was asked if I would go and play in Turkey, in Antalya in Turkey, which was a fantastic experience. And I was hooked after that then. So since then, I've travelled around Belfast, Dublin, Waterford, Cork, and play as many as I can. And depending on your age, of course, as well, you have to play within your age group. I'm now playing in the 70s.
Right.
And if you win an event, you get so many points. And so I keeping it going.
It's amazing for you to have found such a hobby that you can continue doing into your 70s and, you know, beyond.
Yes indeed. And we had an interprovincial there recently. I was playing for Munster because I'm a Tipperary woman.
All right.
And we were playing in the 70s ladies, but there were also 75s and 80s, men and women. Playing for each province, so it really is something. And last August I had a new hip put in, and I'm back playing as well as ever again. So I was very poorly for a little while beforehand, but kept going. But anyway,
You're better now.
Better now.
Do you follow the tennis on the TV, or do you suppose Wimbledon's on now?
Yes,
you'd be glued to it Monday to Friday. Yeah.
Yes. And as a left-hander, I'm usually inclined to follow the lefties. So saw Jack Draper did very well last night, winning his first match. And of course, I would have been a great fan always of Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal.
I was going to say a lefty, Rafa. Rafael
Rafael Nadal has to be the man.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. And I always spot when there's a left-hander playing, because we are in a minority, and it is definitely an advantage. You know, you really... you just catch people out a little bit when you're lefty. Gerry is a lefty as well here.
Right. Lastly for me, Mary, we're down here at Letterkenny Tennis Club. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's given you a lot over the years. Can you just talk to us a wee bit about what Letterkenny Tennis Club means to you?
Yes, I absolutely love playing here. We play here twice a week, and I'm also trained as a level one tennis coach. So in fact, for years here, I was coaching the transition years from St. June, as they come down once a week, and myself and Gerry would have coached them here, but I finally gave that up and I coach now in Ramelton. But I still play here twice a week, and played for Letterkenny all round the, you know, Enniskillen, Oma, Limavady and all that as well over the years.
Great stuff. Thanks very much for talking to us, Mary. I'm joined now by Kay Dean. I'm told perhaps one of the older members of Letterkenny Tennis Club. How long have you been a member here?
About 20 years, I think, yes.
And do you play every week, or how often do you come here?
I play in the women's sessions on Mondays and Friday mornings, which I thoroughly enjoy. And it gets me out of the house and keeps you going. Yeah.
What is it about tennis that you enjoy?
Probably because I played various other sports, but it's the one that's stuck. And it's the one that takes you through life better, I think, than many sports.
Yeah, it's great to be able to play, you know, as you progress into your 60s, 70s and keep going and make new friends and keep your mind fresh.
That's the whole point. And the sociability, of course, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, we meet up on a Monday and a Friday and we play hard, but then we go out for lunch or coffee or something.
Yeah, the social aspect, I think, can get overlooked sometimes in sport. You know, when you watch the TV, it's all about, you know, the competitiveness of it. But for you, the social aspect is every bit as important?
Oh, at my age, the social aspect is very important because I live on my own, so it's great, yeah, it's company.
I also spoke to Zlata, a young girl whose family has recently moved from the Ukraine to Ireland, Amit from India, who says the tennis club has helped him feel at home in Ireland, and Amir, a retired doctor in his 80s, who represented Iraq at some huge athletics events in the 60s.
Now, I'm joined by Amit down here at the Letterkenny Tennis Club. Amit, how long have you been a member here?
I have been almost 1.5 years a member here. So, I moved to Letterkenny around 2022, October. After that, this club is almost a second home for me. I come 3 or 4 days a week. It's such a nice facility. This polymeric court has resurfaced recently, and we have the clay court built newly. So it's always full. It's tennis for all. If you see, kids are playing, we have adults, we have different training sessions. And Gerry and his team is very enthusiastic, every time helps and all those things. And I have been playing tennis all over the world. I went to UK, I moved to US, then I come to Ireland here. So this is the place I played most tennis.
Yeah. So no matter where you go, if you find a tennis club, you'll feel at home. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel at home. But this is very great. The people are here, very nice. Jerry and his team is very enthusiastic, very helpful. So it's a really nice experience here. I'm happy and lucky to be here, a member of the club.
Do you play competitively here? I was talking to Gerry earlier on. He said that there's a competition that takes place. There's 50 or 60 of you in an in-house league of, you know, 7 or 8 divisions. Sounds fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. I am taking part in social tennis and also competitive tennis. We have internal men's league, and we are also having Northwest League. That we have Derry, Strabane, all those teams coming here, and we go to their place. We play competitive tennis there also. So I'm involved in all kind of tennis here. Yeah, really fun.
Here now with Amir. Amir, where are you from originally?
I came from Iraq originally, from Baghdad. But I left when I was very young to Sweden. And I lived in Sweden. I am a Swedish citizen.
Okay.
And I finished my study in Sweden and Norway. And then 20 years ago, suddenly I am in Ireland, in a small town, Letterkenny. And I am still here.
You're still here.
Yeah.
And the tennis club, how long have you been here at Letterkenny Tennis Club?
Yes, from the beginning when there was almost nobody. The first person, Alan, who participated to make the club, he was a friend of mine. He worked at the hospital with me. And we played a little bit. There was nobody almost. We've been alone. But with the time, with the court, it's still popular, and I see young people coming, and it gives me pleasure that it's not empty.
Yeah. Did you play tennis in Iraq or Sweden before?
No, I was dealing with athletics. I was in the Iraqi team for athletics, presenting Iraq. I was running 100 meters, and I participate in some international track and field. The biggest achievement, it was in Cambodia, in Phnom Penh, with the Olympic, Asiatic Olympic game in Cambodia, 1966, I think. And I was a bronze medalier in that field.
So you represented Iraq at the Olympics?
Yes. I represent Iraq a few years. And then I went to Sweden, and I become a trainer for one of the biggest club in Stockholm, Hellas. And I had almost 8 or 7 athletes in the Swedish team. I trained them. So it was my hobby and my profession.
And no tennis is your hobby?
My tennis is a hobby. And the best friend, it is the wall.
Yes.
I play against the wall, and I feel pleasure and fresh air. Yeah. And
also being able to make new friends. And
Yes. It's very friendly. The people here are friendly. Okay, I play with people which is 30 is younger than me or so. But still, I give them some. Yeah.
You give them a game.
Hard time.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Amir. I'm here now with Zlata. Zlata, you came to Ireland from Ukraine 9 months ago and joined Letterkenny Tennis Club. How are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Did you play tennis back home in Ukraine?
Yeah, I did.
And have you played any matches here, or do you just come to training? Or I suppose it's a good way for you to make lots of new friends.
No, I didn't play much, but I just joined to camp and played tennis.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favourite part about coming to Letterkenny Tennis Club?
It's a beautiful place.
Lastly, from the tennis club, Cian Blake is a coach who found a love of tennis at a young age, and Sean Boyle, who is seen as one of the best players at the club and regularly competes all over the country.
I'm here now with Sean Boyle. I'm told one of the better players down here at the tennis club, Sean.
I don't know about that. There's a good bunch of us here. Started here when I was about 10, and was fortunate enough to have a good group of similar age guys like Michael here is with me today. There was about 7 or 8 of us, and we're a bit secluded here in the northwest, so we're very lucky to get that group of lads to hit down here. We came down 4 or 5 days a week for hours on end, and we just loved it.
Yeah. How old are you now, Sean?
I'm 22.
22, so you've been playing tennis for 12 years?
Got to 12 years, yeah.
What was it that turned you to tennis in the first place?
It was actually a flyer Jerry put around the school, and then my mother was a teacher. She said, oh, you may as well give it a go. And I played a lot of sports when I was younger. I think it was 6 at a stage. And then when you get to a certain age, you have to commit to one, and I just love tennis, so that's why I'm still playing today.
Yeah, so obviously the tennis club down here has meant a lot to you over the years. You're at a stage now where you're 22. Do you compete?
I compete, yeah. I'm up in, I've just graduated from Belfast, but for the last 4 years I was competing at a pretty high level, a club level up there. And just this year I played on the men's first team for Windsor, who won the league, which was a great achievement for us. And it just showed me that my tennis has come a long way to be able to compete with these guys up in Belfast.
Yeah, Jerry was saying that this clay court, that it's a gorgeous surface. Mm-hmm. Before this, had you played in a clay court before, or how did you find the transition from hard courts and the grass stuff to the clay court?
Well, the only time I've actually played in something similar was in Spain when I was there years ago. And they're few and far between clay courts in Ireland now, but they're starting to make a breakthrough in local clubs, and it's the best surface to learn on, really good high bounce, so it's great for players to learn how to play and rally. And it's just it's been a great addition to the club.
Yeah, it might be a bit easier on the legs and the knees and stuff as well for twisting and turning, would you say that?
I would, yeah. The other common surface is like an AstroTurf, and the amount of injuries in that there is unbelievable. So, no, this is the best thing Letterkenny's had put in years, as long as I can remember.
And aside from playing, do you follow the tennis? Do you follow the pro leagues and have ambitions to get to, you know, the Grand Slams and that kind of thing one day?
Well, I'd follow it, yeah, but just seeing the professionals play, it's a different level altogether. Yeah. But what you need really is a good kind of good circuit to build up good juniors. And what we have here, even though it's secluded, there's a good number of kids here who are really keen. And all they need is to be able to play and compete. And yeah, we could see an Irish Grand Slam winner in a couple of years.
You know, is there such thing as like an All Ireland Tennis Championship, or how does that work? Like, what in Ireland, what would be the main competition or the biggest competition that you could enter?
The biggest in Ireland would probably be the Irish Open. You get some pros enter that. This is the first year it's back now since COVID. So we're expecting a big entry there this year. I'm not sure if I'll enter myself, but I know a couple of guys who will, and we'll see how far they get. But that would be the biggest and definitely the most competitive, I would say.
Joined now by Cian Blake down here at the tennis club. Cian, how long have you been a member here?
I've been a member here for about 12 to 13 years. I started when I was 6, so I've been going quite a while at this stage.
And you've moved into a coaching capacity here?
Yeah, so in the last couple of years, there's this play and stay assistant coaching course that you can do run by Tennis Ireland. So I've been doing that the last 4 years, kind of just since COVID. But it's great, you know, we have the juniors involved. There's quite a group of us who help Jerry with the coaching, and it creates a great environment for the kids.
On the coaching side of things, when you have a group of kids coming here, let's say for the first time, that have never really, you know, stroked a ball before, What does a training session look like for 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, beginner level?
Well, I suppose for the younger age groups, it's all about just letting them enjoy it. You know, we're not going to jump straight into all the technical aspects, just a bit of fun. We start throwing and catching the ball, because they're the fundamentals of being able to play tennis. Throwing and catching a ball, being able to run with a racket in their hand. And then we start slowly introducing them into how you swing the ball, where to drop it, and then putting that all together, and they'll drop and hit to their pair. So that's where we start off. But it's a long enough process, but ensuring that they enjoy it and they feel, oh, you know, I can do this, instead of pushing them away from it.
Yeah, and Jerry Clark here is hands-on. What kind of influence has he had on your tennis journey so far?
Well, Jerry's had a great influence, not just on myself. You know, there's a whole group of juniors. You know, he's very much of the idea that the juniors should feel like it's their club, you know, that they enjoy being at the club, and he's really kind of fostered that environment. And our journey, you know, he would take us to tournaments throughout the years. We go on an annual trip to Castlebar for kind of bonding and match plays. So Jerry's been really important for that. You know, that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for him, and that continues, you know, throughout the year. And as well, he lets us assist him with the coaching as well, so no, he's been very important to us.
Yeah, and just lastly for me, it's well known that there's a lot of sports available for young people to try out, like especially GAA and soccer. It's all so focused towards that. Why tennis? Why would you encourage people to get into tennis instead of GAA or soccer? Or if they fall out of love with GAA or soccer, why would you pick tennis?
Well, first of all, there's the health aspects. You know, there's all the science. You know, you live for an extra 7 years on average by playing tennis. It's a sport for life. You know, as I said, I've been playing it from when I was 6. I hope to be playing it well into my 70s or 80s, hopefully. But there's also the part of it, you know, it is quite a singular sport. It's only yourself on the court or one more in doubles. But it's very important because that time off court is so important. When we run tournaments, you know, we let the kids kind of roam about, and they stay at the club until their next match. So they win together, they lose together. But that it doesn't become a problem for them then, because they kind of get over it and they enjoy the experience and they develop as players overall because of it.
In the next section, we'll take a closer look at the Northwest hubs of Mahery and Inishowen. These hubs are local development organisations that work to achieve positive change in the lives of people and groups in their communities. Let's head to Buncrana, where we spoke to the Connecting Communities Development Officer of the Inishowen Development Partnership, Patricia Higgins.
Patricia, maybe you can start off by just explaining what it is you do here at the partnership in general.
Okay, thanks very much, Mark. It's great to be here with you. I'm I'm a Connecting Communities Development Officer. I'm one of two. Myself and my colleague Maggie, our role has two functions primarily. One is to support the people seeking international protection who are placed here in Buncrana. So there's around 150 of those people here currently. So we aim to support them to access the things that they have a right to as seekers of international protection, and also then to support their integration with the wider community and to support integration across the peninsula with people, with locals and all people from Black and minority. Matt, let me get it right, Black and minority ethnic communities.
Yeah. And with regards to the, I suppose that's just one part of the Inishowen Development Partnership. What about the Inishowen Development Partnership as a whole? What is it here for?
It's a local development organisation which aims to promote inclusion and innovation, to promote employment, progress, develop the place within Inishowen. So it's there's development partnerships all around the country, and the IDP is the Inishowen's.
Good stuff. What inspired you to become involved in helping people in the community and helping with the integration?
I, from the north, I grew up during the Troubles. I did a lot of cross-community work when I was, cross-community opportunities when I was a teenager. It was fantastic. I got to travel the world with groups of, you know, that I wouldn't naturally meet.
Yeah.
And that led on to work in social justice volunteering. So again, I got to travel to Africa. When I started my own family, I was passionate about that work, but it doesn't lend itself to raising kids.
Yeah.
And so the natural progression from working with people who were going overseas to volunteer and learn was, well, what can happen here? And a big question now increasingly in Ireland, what can you do here for your bit as a global citizen is to, well, you can make the people who are here. The world has come to our doorstep to be welcoming and clued in and hospitable.
Yeah, and you work towards integrating people into the community through various programs, sports and activities. Those things can be such powerful tools when used correctly, can't they?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I came from a meeting this morning, Mark, where there were 15 of us in the room, and a basic start-up exercise was turn to the person beside you and talk to them about what sport has meant to you. And the buzz in the room, like, these were people who hadn't particularly gathered or spoken to each other before. It was an instant buzz, and I found myself talking to somebody who, he's here as an international protection applicant. He's a very keen footballer, and he says, I failed at trials in Zimbabwe. And I kind of said, trials? And he said, yeah, club trials and national trials in Zimbabwe. So I would be telling him, don't be framing it that you failed, you got to trials in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, there's just something about being competitive that just breaks down barriers and makes you forget about everything else in the world for that few moments that you have to be competitive. Sport is just amazing in that regard.
It is amazing, and it was, we had five kids in the room because there was a number of couples who had brought their kids along, and the goal of this course that we are consulting around is to, one of the goals is to get people who are seeking international protection to trained up as coaches who can act as coaches within the summer camps that are going to be running here in Buncrana. But ultimately, parents want to do that for the kids because they know the value of sport. Sport is it's a powerful integrating tool.
It sure is. You touched on it there. You have been in touch with the Donegal Supporters Partnership, and you have aspirations to train people to be volunteers to help within these programmes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're planning, it'll be an intensive 3-week course. It'll be for a mixed group of people from international protection application residents here in Buncrana, as well as local people. And they'll be trained in safeguarding, they'll be Garda vetted, they'll get general volunteer leadership training, coaching training, and then they'll get specific skills training in a range of sporting areas, including soccer, basketball and Olympic handball.
Are you getting much interest in it?
Yes, well, I mean, that's the amazing thing about this group of international protection applicants. They come, they're often very skilled and very motivated. They're hugely interested in getting the chance to integrate. So they want to volunteer. I know it's not sports related, but we asked for volunteers to go and clear and work with Inishowen Rivers Trust last week. We had 31 people in the space of 24 hours. So these people are just, they're dying to take part.
Are these programs up and running, or are they still in the works, or how's it?
They're still in the works. So we're hoping that the summer camps are due to start for young adults in mid-August, and we'd hope to have the training finished in time for that. And then they will be qualified. They will have like FII development level one training. They'll be available to clubs in the Bonprana area. So, I mean, there won't be an opportunity to say we can't get volunteers, because there will be skills trained volunteers on your doorstep.
How do you identify people that would be suitable for the programmes themselves? Do you go out surveying, or how does that work?
We did run a survey, Mark. We did that, a kind of skills audit and interest audit. So what are people passionate about? Where would they like to connect? Because that's where the best, sweetest integration happens. We have a marvellous story of someone who came here as a programme refugee from Syria. He was a passionate beekeeper. He got connected into the Inishowen Beekeeping Society. And, you know, that's been a really enriching experience for everyone involved. So we do survey, but we're very careful to issue invitations to everybody to participate in, you know, to leave the option open so that we don't choose, people choose to whether to step forward. So for this course, we said there was going to be a consultation this morning. We put the word out last week, and we had 15 people here this morning.
And I suppose to run these kind of programmes, you can't do it on your own. You've obviously been in touch with local organisations, sports clubs, community groups to help support these programmes, have you?
The initiation, I laughed with the this came from a meeting with Donegal Sports Partnership at a speed dating event, an intercultural speed dating event to connect people involved in integration work across Donegal. The event was brilliant. And so Hugh and I had a conversation at the end of that where he was going, I really need volunteers. And I was going, I have so many people willing to volunteer. So it was out of that this idea emerged. And I guess the hope is that when the clubs become aware of the talent that we have here and the skills that are available, that they will become interested.
Yeah.
But yes, obviously they need to be brought more on board. And separately, we are working with organisations within Bonprana to make them aware of the volunteer pool that we have here. And there's a volunteer fair going to take place on July the 9th that we've been working towards for some time now.
Can you share some examples of the types of activities or events that you've been organising or that are in the works maybe for the near future?
Well, I think it's important to recognise the IDP aren't the only people who are at the integration gig in Bonprana. I've just had a powerful conversation with one of the women involved in Sanctuary Runners and Park Run in Bonprana. So Sanctuary Runners, as your listeners might be aware, Mark, is it's an organisation that seeks to welcome and support people who are here seeking international protection. So as a group, they take part weekly in the Bonprana Park Run. They help marshal in it as well. And then they have additional walks that happen on a monthly basis. So that's one thing. I guess, to be honest, we've been looking for funding to do a number of things. But what we have been doing is we've been channeling people to the existing supports that happen within IDP that were designed to promote people who were more traditionally socially excluded in this area. So employment supports, training, health and wellbeing. So we've been making people aware that those events are on and open to them. And we have been working very hard to provide this volunteer fair and a range of options.
Yeah, I was
preparation for that.
No, I was on the phone to you yesterday, and you happened to drop a little bombshell about a story about a Nigerian man who happened to be a world champion Scrabble player. So I can't let that slide. Can you tell us a wee bit about that and how that came to be?
Yeah, that is particularly new, eye catching or ear catching. So part of the work has been over the last number of months since I took the job has been to connect and to build relationships, and the survey was a way to do that. So I was chatting, there's a wonderful intercultural cafe that happens here on a weekly basis. The Exchange and Inishowen have been doing a power work to promote integration at a whole wide different levels over the last number of years. So I was down there chatting to four fellas from Nigeria. And I was going around saying, so tell me, you know, what is it you like to do? And in my head, I had the answer. I was going, you're going to like football. I know what the answer is going to be. So they said, first fella said, volleyball, ping pong, football. And there we go, basketball. And the biggest guy in the group, I was looking at him and I thought, well, you know. And then he said something I didn't catch. And I went, sorry? And he went, Scrabble. And you're joking. He goes, no, my brother is a world champion Scrabble player. And he said, you can Google it. And I have since said my mother was a very keen Scrabble player. So I played him and he went very kindly on me. I said, I think I'll do well if I get half your score.
Yeah, yeah, that's fascinating. And then from that, there's now board game sessions for adults and kids that stem from your acquaintance with the Scrabble family.
Yes. The Scrabble, there were a number of Scrabble games that took place in the Intercultural Cafe on a weekly basis. And the library, which is next door to us here on St. Mary's Road, people might be familiar with it. They're very keen to welcome people from new communities and create an integration space. So we are going to run on a trial basis drop-in board game sessions, which will start from July the 16th in the morning, 11 to half 12.
What are some key benefits that migrants experience when they're participating in these programs or activities? What's the plan? What are you hoping for them to get out of this?
I think that there's been a lot of talk up until the recent election about migration policy and what happens to people. I think people who are listening may very well be aware there's a huge amount of waiting around and time on their hands. So once people arrive here, and typically people are arriving in Moncrana very shortly after they arrive in Ireland. So until they're here 6 months, they do not have a right to work. And that can often be because of delays in processing. That can be up to 9 or 10 months. So that's 9 or 10 months when they're sitting in a new place with nothing to do. And so I guess the hope would be that they, for mental health, well-being, that they would socially integrate, that people would become aware of what they have and what they bring. There are some, well, everybody's remarkable in their own right, but there are people with fantastic skills and abilities who have arrived in Moncrana. With fascinating life stories and with so much to give. So I guess my hope is that they would be helped, that they would get a chance to have their needs met, but also that they would have channels would open up where they could provide something of their skills and experience. And a lovely example of that is at this volunteer fair we're having, which is open to all, by the way, on July the 9th in the evening in St. Mary's Hall. One of the tables there from the exchange will be manned, will be personed by a wonderful lady from Palestine who has shaped their volunteer engagement in a wonderful way. But she will be manning their stall to help more people sign up and also to inform local groups about how best to engage with this new cohort of people interested in getting involved in the community.
On a personal level, it sounds like a very rewarding job for you to have.
It's an amazing, I feel really, really lucky. Yeah, it's a really powerful job.
Yeah. So how can people learn more about your programmes or get in touch or get involved?
I'd say keep an eye on our social media. And if you'll bear with me one moment, we're on Instagram as Inish Development Partnership on Instagram. And on Facebook, we're on as Inish Owen Development Partnership. So I'd recommend that people would check that out. I think you'll hear about the library programme there. The Sanctuary Runners and Park Run, show up to the Park Run any Saturday in Buncrana and look for the people in the blue t-shirts. That runs very informally in a WhatsApp group, so somebody within the blue t-shirt will get you the person who can put you in front of that WhatsApp group.
Kevin McLaughlin is also of the Inish Owen Development Partnership. He is heavily involved in getting walking and cycling hubs up and running across 10 communities in Inish Owen. Thanks very much for joining us, Kevin.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
You're very heavily involved in what communities in Inish Owen are doing to get more people of all backgrounds involved in sport. Is that right, Kevin?
So I suppose I'm part of the Active Inish Owen project, and I'm the coordinator for the project working with that Inish Owen Development Partnership. The project, I suppose, the beginnings was it's been funded by dormant accounts through Sport Ireland, and it's been managed by Donegal Sports Partnership and Inish Owen Development Partnership. And I suppose an application was made off the back of the Inish Owen Walking Festival and the success of that. And 5 years of funding has been gotten to develop walking and cycling in particular in the Inish Owen area. So we're currently in the initial phases of that. And it's going good so far. I suppose I've been in the role now since late March. And a lot of learning has taken place and a lot of research. But we're moving on with the project well.
There's a big interest in these projects so far, is there?
Absolutely. So at the moment, we're currently kind of in our initial phase. And part of that phase was reaching out to the public and kind of doing assessing what the needs are around the community and in Ashone, around the peninsula. So we've been conducting a needs analysis, and the public consultation just took place there last week on Wednesday in the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh. And Outscape were leading the discussion, and Outscape were the group that previously done the Donegal Outdoor Recreation Strategy. So we were working with Outscape, and they were leading the discussion in the Colgan Hall. And it was an opportunity for the public to highlight and discuss their views, their ideas, and what the potentials are for walking and cycling and showing, whether that good, bad, and different. And then hopefully help shape the project moving forward. With that, obviously, we had a great attendance on Wednesday, but we're also supplementing that currently. And we have an online survey at the minute too. That's out, and I'm sure it's widely available on multiple social media presences. I know there's IDP would have it, or Donegal Sports Partnership. So we're kind of promoting that now and inviting anybody that maybe is active, not active, walking or not walking. No, it doesn't really matter. We're asking anybody to fill out that survey and once again help us to shape the project moving forward.
And when the project does eventually get off the ground, I know that's currently in the process now, but what will it look like on a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis when you get members of the public involved in this kind of stuff? Will it be classes every week, or will there be events every couple of months? How's it going to work?
Aye, so I suppose from the needs analysis, that will obviously shape how the project goes forward, you know. So that'll give me and the team an action strategy going forward and on how we may do that. And absolutely, yes, it could be something where we focus. So obviously, we're kind of focusing on 10 communities based off the Envision project, that Envision and Ashone project that IDP had already done. So there's the 10 communities are in Ashone. So we may focus on certain communities and certainly certain areas. And take it forward. I suppose the idea is from the action plan is to increase participation, first of all, to build capacity, and also the potential is also there to invest in minor works for infrastructure for maybe older trails or newer trails or whatever going forward. So it's hard to know what form it'll take right now, but certainly little events like you said would certainly be part of it. But once again, we're still waiting on that needs analysis to kind of inform that strategy going forward.
Yeah, and are you going to be welcoming volunteers to come and help out with the running of these activities once they get it?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Whenever we get that up and going, that'll certainly be great to get people, because the part of it is building the capacity side of it is obviously we want to have things running and get things up and going, and we can facilitate whatever at the beginning, but we want that to continue long after we're gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just going to the Inishowen Development Partnership, on a day-to-day basis now, what are the main objectives of the partnership?
The partnership is so wide-spanning, and once again, it's one of the things that whenever I came in first in March, I was kind of, oh my God, look, the size of this place. They do so much in so many areas of the community. And for me, it was about kind of learning what everybody else was doing and kind of almost piggybacking off of people's knowledge and the likes. And networking with them, and I suppose from my point of view, it was just even I'm still learning how the actual operations work within IDP. While on the other hand, I'm still trying to learn what my role is, and obviously trying to gather that work on this work on the project that I'm doing myself. There's so much I can tap into within IDP, and obviously Donegal Sports Partnership as well. So there's loads of work being done there that can kind of facilitate my own.
When I was talking to you earlier, you said you were getting ready to head to walking football. Talk to us a wee bit about that, and maybe you can expand on some other kind of activities that you'd be getting involved in.
Aye, so I suppose once again, as I said, I've been kind of been told to make sure that we get this needs analysis kind of over the line, but I was kind of chomping at the bit to get my teeth into something on the ground, you know. So I suppose that from the walk and football point of view, it's been funded by Donegal Sports Partnership, and we're working in conjunction with Mavol Family Resource Centre, and we're running a 6-week program based out of the Greencastle Community Centre at the minute. And I know Steve McNutt and Fun Harps had piloted a scheme there a few months back as well, and I was hoping to do the same and kind of introduce walk and football to the Mavol, Greencastle, Redcastle, Glenelly kind of area. And so it's gathering a bit of steam now. We're in our third week this week. And we're going to have new participants again this week. So And better than that, everybody who's played, who's already attended, are returning. So yeah, we're getting great feedback from it. Everybody's enjoying it, and it's something where I suppose from and the Shone in general has a great football tradition, if you like, and a lot of people would have played, you know, that are in their, I suppose, even I could even put myself in that bracket now. If you're a middle-aged man, where you
I'm know, thinking about signing up myself here.
You know, you kind of football. You thought football's kind of gone out of your life, and to a certain extent, it has from a playing point of view. But this brings it back into it. I mean, obviously, people are still interested in watching and maybe even coaching. But from a playing point of view, you think you're finished. But this for walking football takes the athleticism out of it. Your skills are still there. Everything else is still there.
The whole aim of this is to bring the community together. And if you can have, you know, sons and fathers playing, mothers and daughters, and people of all shapes and sizes coming together to partake in an activity, that's really what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely, the social aspect is massive from it, from that point of view, and that's certainly what we're finding is all sorts of demographics participating, and from the social aspect as well. Not just while you're playing, because while you're playing, it's great crack and you're having the banter and all that. But afterwards, we're having tea and coffees after, and you know, they're reanalyzing the match and who done this and who done that. It's fantastic. Like so. Not so from that social aspect, obviously the mental health aspect, the physical health aspect, cognitive aspect. There's so many benefits to participate in it.
Yeah. And just finally for me, Kevin, I get the impression that this is just the beginning of your work. You'll have your sights set on bigger things in the near future, I'm sure.
I hope so. I'm really excited, as I say. Like, I'm kind of still, not to say hamstrung, but we're kind of waiting on that needs analysis to kind of shape my strategy going forward, you know. So as I say, like I'm excited about getting my teeth into whatever it will be in the future, with all things walking and cycling. But yeah, it's certainly the beginnings, and hopefully it'll be really successful.
Finally, we'll go to Mahery, where I spoke with Stephen Bell and Hugh Gerard Boyle of Mahery Coastal Adventures, an exciting initiative to promote inclusion in adventure sports in West Donegal. They have recently linked up with Donegal Sports Partnership to develop a paddle ability programme for young people with additional needs.
I'm here now down at Mahery Coastal Adventures. Beautiful setting down here. I'm here with Stephen Bell and Hugh Boyle. Stephen, you're the coordinator of Mahery Coastal Adventures. Hugh, you're the manager. Hugh, I might start with you. Maybe you could give us a general overview of what it is you do down here in Mahery.
Well, the Mahery Community Centre here covers everything. We do everything from, we provide school dinners for the local school, we've day centres, and another big part of it is Mahery Coastal Adventures, which we try to get young local people into adventure sports.
How long have you been up and running down here?
About since 2016, we got funding from Donegal Sports Partnership and Sports Ireland under the dormant account. And initially it was just a committee of interested people in the community. The coordinator job came up and I went for it, and we set up. So originally we had six sports that we'd done. We'd surfing, kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, snorkeling, cycling and hill walking. And we managed to get a number of locals who were into adventure sports trained up to be instructors. And we developed groups of young people, particularly in kayaking, snorkeling, and they went on to do it for years.
Yeah. Stephen, I'll bring you in here. How long have you been involved in Mahery Coastal Adventures?
So I first came on board in 2017, firstly as a kayaking instructor and just running different activities, and then in 2021 I took over the coordinator role of it as well.
So what does the coordinating side of things entail?
All the fun admin stuff. So it would be organising the activities, organising sessions, organising the staff for the sessions, and then just the general overview and running of it.
Yeah, I see from your socials that kayaking seems to be a big hit down here. Would that be your most popular activity?
Yeah, certainly kayaking would be the main thing. As you Jared was saying, we have been running regular Saturday kids kayaking sessions, it's called, and that was one of the main themes was to develop people. It wasn't just to get them out kayaking. We started off on the Sit on Top kayaks. They got some Canoe in Ireland skill awards, and then we went on to more advanced closed cockpit kayaks, and then we went on to sea kayaking. So these kids have come a long way, and eventually the idea was that they will go on and do their coaching awards and become future instructors here.
Yeah, you do a wide variety of things here. I see you held a sports day in Gidor not so long ago, Hugh, did you?
Yeah, well, Stephen would have done that.
Yep, so I was, yes, so we held it. We were requested for, I think it was a Gaeltacht that was happening, and they got in touch, and they're a big, long bus journey, and they just wanted something to energise the kids, so we went out and offered. It was an old-style school sports day, and so they came off the bus, and we just got them going and got them amped up and just ready for the next few days that they were going to be spending down there.
And the Mahari Community Festival is coming up on the 12th and 13th of July, isn't it? You have a big weekend planned down there. Can you just tell us maybe a bit about what's going to be happening on that weekend?
Well, yeah, there's going to be lots of things organised with different events happening. For Mahari Coastal Adventures, we'll have sunset kayak and sunset paddleboarding. We always do a child or a children's bushcraft session in the morning, so we'll just go through campfires, getting them going and making some marshmallows on that. And then last year we ran, it was like Mahari's Fittest Family competition almost. It was like the school sports day out on the pitch. So we had over 70 people taking part in that. So it was a great fun afternoon for everyone. And then we'll be doing some historical and guided walks around the local area.
Just want to touch a wee bit on your partnership with the Donegal Sports Partnership to develop the Paddle Ability Programme. I don't know if, Stephen, you want to come in on this. The Paddle Ability Programme, basically an introduction to kayaking for people with additional needs, is it?
Yeah, it started off, this will be the third year of doing something like this. The first year I had just been asked if I could develop a programme for one local young person who was non-verbal and had a high-level autism. So I developed just a 6-week kayaking program for her, and it was just 1 hour a week, and I just brought her out on a one-to-one, and it was fantastic. And through that, the Donegal Sports Partnership had heard about it, as did the Sports Inclusion Disability Officer, and they approached me last year and asked would I be willing to set that up, but open up to a lot or more people.
And is there still availability for that? Can people join it still?
Or? The July session that's running this year is fully booked. As far as I know, there's still some spaces available in the August, because it was so popular last year and went so well. We increased the offering this year to an extra couple sessions per day. So it's the same thing. It runs over 3 weeks, and it's 1 hour on a one-to-one basis. And yeah, we'll just keep that going as long as we can.
Yeah, so that's running from next week, is it?
The week after.
A week after next. And there'll be another couple of blocks after that. What is it that you're hoping the participants can get out of this?
It's just giving them access to something that they may never have had. And it's just fantastic to see them getting out on the water. The big thing that I noticed last year, it was the parents. So the parents were very nervous and they're very unsure and couldn't believe that, firstly, that their child was able to do this. And it was something that they just never thought would have been possible. And just to get them out and let them experience the water.
Yeah. So I presume, Hugh, you're going to be working closely or hoping to be working more closely with the Donegal Sports Partnership in the near future to develop more programmes like this?
Yeah, we hope so. As Stephen went through the paddle ability as to pair, but we've done training courses and accessibility. So that's one thing that's very important. Before Mahari Coastal Adventures was set up, even young people just did not have access. We live in a fantastic place. We've got the sea, we've got the bay, we've got hills, but young people had no access to partake in those sports. And as Stephen has taken it on that bit further for people that do have additional needs, and it's just fantastic to see them being able to take part in.
Yeah, it's hugely important to keep these diverse communities involved in sport in the local area, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And it fosters a pride in the local area as well, you know, which is great.
Yeah. So where can people keep an eye on what's happening down here at Mahari Coastal Adventures?
They can follow our Facebook page, Mahari Coastal Adventures, or our website as well. We have a dedicated website where you can book see all activities that are happening and book directly.
That's it for Programme 4. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. The Active Donegal series is produced by Highland Radio and funded by Commission the Man with the television licence fee.